Welcome, friends, back to Restoring the Republic. It is Sunday, April 15th, the biggest April Fool's Day of all. Hopefully, everybody's got everything handled in one way, shape, form, or fashion on this big tax day. I'm sure that everybody's real happy it's upon us. But anyway, my name is Richard Reeves. I'm your host for the next 2 hours. We're on live. It's April 15th on Sunday. And I want to start out with one of the announcements here. If you're local in Austin, Central Texas area, Independent Texans is having a meeting on Wednesday, April 18th, 6:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m., and that's going to be located at 4721 Loyola Lane, University Hills Library. And once again, that's Independent Texans, and you can check out their website at indytexans.org, indytexans.org. And Linda Curtis is the leader of that group. She's been a longtime fighter against the toll roads and many other issues, trying to get back and restore our republic. She'll be there with Brian Rogers, a local businessman, and hope to have a lot of Eastside folks in Austin turn out and many more out there. And that's, once again, University Hills Library, 4721 Loyola Lane, this Wednesday, April 18th, 6:30 p.m. till 8:30. And especially if you voted as part of that 31% minority here in Texas, if you voted independent or third party, or if you voted for Carol or Kinky, we'd like to see you guys come out and keep the momentum growing for the independent movement and independent thinking folks. Okay, one of the stories I had last week that I wanted to cover and I didn't get to it was about the Iraq and a lot of the big oil contracts going to India and China. So here we are in this big war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and back in 1999 and 2000, I remember paying 79 cents a gallon for regular unleaded gas here in Austin and Central Texas area, and here we are going up around 265, 270, somewhere in that neighborhood for a gallon of gas. And now we find out that a lot of this oil that supposedly they were going to be shipping here to help the United States and the economy, et cetera, and they're sending a lot of it through the big contracts over to India and China. So I tell you what, it sounds to me, once again, it's just some more evidence that the enemy is within. It's interesting to think that Saddam Hussein, when he was in Iraq in the late 90s, early 2000, that we had some record low prices. I couldn't believe whenever gasoline actually dropped under a dollar a gallon here locally in Central Texas, I just thought I'd never see the day. I remember back in the 70s, in the late 70s, when gas went up over a dollar, up to around $1.50, and I just never really thought that there'd be another opportunity to buy it for less than a dollar, especially at 1999 and 2000 inflated dollars. So I'll tell you what, well, it was great while it lasted. But anyway, nonetheless, the powers that be seem fit to continue building up the Chinese superpower. And I guess we can look for them to continue making China the new superpower and selling to them, I'm sure, undervalued oil. It would be really interesting to find out what their equivalent dollar per gallon is in China. And maybe if there's somebody out there that knows how to find that out, what the Chinese public in general are paying for a gallon of gas, that would be very interesting to know. Because I think for a long time what happened here in the United States, and many of us always heard that over in Europe, gasoline was $6, $7, $8 a gallon, the equivalent of that. Of course, they measure their gasoline in liters over there in Europe, but they paid the equivalent of $6 to $8 a gallon in most countries in Europe for many, many years. Meanwhile, back here in the United States, we were paying anywhere from a dollar up to $1.50, somewhere in that neighborhood for many years. And I guess now it's our turn to take the bullet and help subsidize another country, get cheap oil while they build up the infrastructure, the giant industry in that country. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what transpires and how high oil prices will go. I know that we did hear this past week that the demand for corn has soared due to the high gasoline prices. The demand for corn, which they make the ethanol, etc., has caused the price of corn to soar. So I guess that's why we're finding out that they're just going to see how high they can test these limits on the gasoline prices. All right, you're listening to Restoring the Republic. We'll be right back after this break, and I'm your host, Richard Reeves. Bye-bye.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. We'll have open lines this first hour. We're supposed to have Deborah Stevens. She's working on a 9/11 grand jury project, and she's going to be coming on at 7 p.m. Deborah Stevens for the last hour from 7 p.m. till 8 here on April 15th, 2007. And if you're listening at 6:08 Central Daylight Time, you're listening live. So you're welcome to call in at 1-800-313-9443. All right, got quite a few things to talk about. Got some police state news, toll road news. Got news about the big vote that occurred here in the Texas legislature. We're slowly working our way to a two-year moratorium, but nothing is written in stone in that regard until it's a done deal. So we can't count on anything right at this point. But before I get to that, I want to talk about the Bill O'Reilly poll. Bill O'Reilly had a poll on his website, and he'd had a question on there. Do you think actor Charlie Sheen will hurt his career by narrating a 911 conspiracy film? And I really thought it was going to be a pretty phony poll, and it probably basically is. But nonetheless, they did. I just checked on that today just to see how it was doing. And there are yeses, 60%. And knows 40%, which I think is pretty impressive, actually, knowing that the audience that Bill O'Reilly caters to is mostly neocon audience. So a lot of folks did jump onto the BillO'Reilly.com website and hit the button for no on that Charlie Sheen narrating a 911 conspiracy film would not hurt his career. So that's excellent. And according to the website, it said there were 54,194 votes at the time that I checked it. So I think that's pretty impressive, and I think that that we could do that against a big neocon audience is really a good sign. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about a couple of police state items. One of the news items that I managed to see today is about over in England, in the UK, they had hundreds of motorists had their fingerprints checked at the roadside in a controversial pilot scheme that has raised fears of a growing Big Brother culture. So they had 4,200 people, drivers and passengers, that were just in the past 4 months that were asked to use a handheld fingerprint reader. So there you are. We're on our way to a police state situation. In Europe, as you know, many folks, if you're monitoring the progress of the globalist agenda, in Europe they're a little bit ahead of where we're at. So we can keep looking towards that direction. We can keep looking to the east to see what's going on and what's coming down the pike, so to speak. But a little bit of this article. On average, 60% of those stopped so far in the voluntary pilot are not on the fingerprint database. In West Yorkshire, which is part of the scheme, 223 drivers and 3 passengers in Bradford and Wakefield have been checked since it was launched in December. Just 3 arrests were made for drugs, offenses, and theft. A total of 74 people were checked were Asian, 14 black, 1 mixed race, and 137 white, prompting warnings that ethnic minorities may feel unfairly targeted. So there's some police state action that we need to watch out for. I know here in the Texas State Legislature, they're talking about putting on a bill and legislation for having random sobriety checkpoints. Now, I know in some states they've had that for a long time, and we've stopped the checkpoints up to now. It seems like every legislative session they do talk about trying to have random drug screens or drug checkpoints, alcohol checkpoints, all over the roadsides, all over the state of Texas. And I don't know exactly where that stands at this moment, but I do know that there are people fighting that. So hopefully we'll be victorious once again in stopping that from happening here in the state of Texas. And another police state item that's going on is now it looks like Rick, Governor 39% Perry, is going to have an unprecedented database of information from delivered to him from Homeland Security, that he's going to have all this access to criminal histories and all kinds of personal histories that most of the time here in the state of Texas has always been under the purview of the Department of Public Safety. But now it says that Texas is amassing an unprecedented amount of information on its citizens, and they're going to hand it over to Rick Perry. So there's another police state thing to watch out for, is that we know in the past the misuse that can occur by the top leaders in the executive branch when they have carte blanche entree into criminal histories and tax records and et cetera. I know in the case of, I think most people here remember during the Clinton administration, the big Filegate blow up that occurred, where it turned out that the Clintons in the executive branch in the White House had hundreds of FBI files and who knows what all kind of information on a lot of people that they were scoping out potentially to personally make problems for folks. So this could potentially repeat itself here in Texas with Governor Rick Perry. And Lord knows that there are plenty of activists here in Central Texas that could be targeted by such a database. So it's kind of concerning to hear what's going on with that. So hopefully the legislature will do a good job of go ahead and curbing that. It does look like we're heading to an override of a gubernatorial veto on HPV legislation, and also we most likely will have a victory, hopefully, on this toll road situation and moratorium on the corridor, which I will be talking about a little bit later and after this police state news. And I wanted to also talk about some of what's going on in real estate. As most of y'all know, in many areas of the country, particularly on the East Coast and West Coast, there has been a tremendous, quite a bursting of the bubble. I don't think it's quite a tremendous bursting yet, but I think it's in some cases it could be pretty devastating, because I know a lot of folks are losing their houses completely due to the fact that they took ARM loans, adjustable rate mortgages, and got in at a mortgage payment that they could afford, or at least they thought they could afford, and then they turned around and got surprised and backlashed by the adjustable rate mortgage going up and making their payments go up, and therefore losing their homes. I've read stories recently about in Cleveland, Ohio, where there's many neighborhoods that actually have homes that are boarded up, that They have to do what they can to protect them and defend them from looters, from breaking in and stealing the appliances and taking out the copper. As many of y'all know, I'm sure in your local areas you've had stories of copper bandits stealing copper pipes and any kind of copper wiring, et cetera, to take and sell to a recycler just for some money. And in the meantime, they'll take a air conditioner, compressor, condenser that's got all kinds of copper in it, and the unit itself is probably worth $1,500 or $2,000, and they go down there and just get maybe a few tens of dollars or maybe a couple hundred dollars for copper and other parts. So it's pretty sad that that's going on. But anyway, the people there in particular that seem to be getting the hurt worst are in California, areas like that, and even Las Vegas, Nevada, Arizona. There's a little bit of that going on, but the East Coast and West Coast are the primary areas. And I've also read quite a few articles about Florida. It says that the vast majority of homeowners who are now finding themselves in desperate situations are victims of disreputable brokers and lenders, believes Gabe Del Rio, homeownership director for the nonprofit group Community Housing Works. But they were also banking on a real estate market accustomed to double-digit increases in appreciation. And that's just it. That's one thing that a lot of these buyers were hoping for, is they were thinking that, wow, if I don't buy a house right now, then next year I won't even be able to afford it. I can't afford it now. So a lot of them were just taking that chance that they were going to jump into a house and have that massive single-digit or double-digit appreciation per year and then be able to take out an equity loan and keep floating that boat. And what's happened now, it's had a big reversal for a lot of folks. So one thing about the real estate market, though, that really does drive a lot of other industries, especially like furniture. Furniture is a big business. I remember in the early 90s working in the furniture business, and the furniture business I worked in at that time, we delivered furniture pretty much custom-made. At the showrooms we had, they just had a situation where they would go into a showroom and really hardly nothing in the showroom would be for sale. What they would do is they would just pick out a style that they wanted, furniture and the configuration, and then they'd pick out it was a specialty leather furniture store, and so they would pick out the grade of leather and the color of leather. And then what they would do is they would order that exact thing, and then about 2 weeks later, the truck would come and drop it off. So I remember working in that as a truck driver in the transportation business and delivering these items of furniture up to these stores, and then we'd offload a few pieces at the store, and then we'd go to the respective neighborhoods and drop them off in order that they were delivered and scheduled by the store personnel. So what was interesting, though, is that when the Gulf War kicked off in early 1991, it pretty much put everybody's consumerism on hold, especially for large items like furniture, real estate, cars, things like that. When the Gulf War broke out in, I believe it was around January 1991, then boom, that furniture business just dropped like a stone. It was amazing how fast it dropped off. It was not too long there before, since I was pretty much a new hired employee, it didn't take long at all before I was laid off. So, all right, well, it looks like we've got a phone caller on line two. We got Mark calling on line two. And I'd like to hear from Mark here. He's in Texas. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, some gorgeous day here in Austin.
Absolutely it is. It is a beautiful day in Austin.
Have you ever drawn a corollary between what's going on in this country today and Jerusalem in AD 69 and 70?
No, I never have necessarily drawn a correspondence on that.
Well, Vespasian, the Roman emperor, laid siege to Jerusalem in AD 69, and his son Titus continued the siege, and then they sacked and burned it. And before they destroyed Jerusalem utterly, a million Jews died from starvation within the walls.
All right, Mark, let's go ahead and we'll hear the rest of that when we come back from this break. We've got a break to go on. You're listening to Restoring the Republic on republicbroadcasting.org. We'll be right back with Mark after this call.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. I'm your host, Richard Reeves, and I'd like to thank Manny, producer, for being here today and doing the work that he always does here, showing up and doing a great job. All right, we're on the line with Mark, and Mark, you were telling us about the parallel between what's going on in this country now and back in around 80 AD in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and I've talked to Christian scholars, and they feel like, you know, there's instances where God really answered the prayers of the Israelites and later the Jews between Babylon and when they were relocated back in Jerusalem. And they feel that because the Pharisees and the ruling Jews mentally manipulated the people into turning away from Jesus' place in Bible prophecy as a true prophet, that's what was visited upon them. In other words, Jesus said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And he certainly meant the practical ramifications of having a reasonably well-ordered and decent human form of government. But the Jews didn't want to lose their power, and they rejected Jesus because they were looking at the second coming of Christ, which was to bring with it a lot of prosperity. But the prophecies concerning Judah ran out about that time, and they've never had a king since then. And so what I'm saying is we're witnessing the destruction of our own country in this time, and I'm just wondering, is it possible that the promised comforter that Jesus promised us in John 14 and 16, what if that comforter came to us in a form that we were unprepared to accept, and we just wrote it off and said, well, Jesus, we love Jesus. He made heaven and earth in 6 days, which in itself is an impossible example to follow. And then the comforter that he sent to us, which would have been the God woman of Revelation 12, we just rejected and wiped our dirty feet on, and maybe that's what is the cause of our problems right now. God sent us a correcting rod, and we have not had it sufficiently revealed to us yet.
Well, that's an entirely possible scenario. I tell you, it just seems strange that, you know, you can be driving around Austin, and like you said, it's a beautiful day, and it's like one of those that's famous quote, I don't know who said it, but it's like it's the best of times and it's the worst of times all rolled into one. I mean, here we are in Austin and Central Texas, and hopefully a lot of listeners throughout the United States enjoying a beautiful day. And really, life is pretty good here in Central Texas, but at the same time, we know that we're on a collision course here, so we've got to be concerned about the future.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I enjoy your show, and I thank you for taking my call.
Hey, did you happen to make it to the big event this weekend down at UT?
No, I just got off work. I was listening to it, though. It's exciting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that was a big conference. Maybe somebody will call in and give us an update. I appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care, Richard.
Appreciate it. All right. Thanks. But maybe somebody will call in to give us an update from UT, from the big rally that's going on. We had a big truth conference with Webster Tarpley, Stephen Jones, Alex Jones, Bob Bowman, Christopher Emery, Dan Abramson. There was just a whole host of 9/11 truthers down there. And there was, I know Jack Blood was also a speaker down there. So it was a big event, and unfortunately I wasn't able to make it, but it would be interesting to hear an update. If you've got one, call in on 1-800-313-9443. All right, I'm going to start diving into some of this toll road news, because we did have a big victory coming up in the House. Now, is it a done deal? Are we where we need to be on this toll road moratorium and Trans-Texas Corridor issue? Are we where we need to be? Absolutely not. But I want to read this article. It came out back in March, but it's written by Carlos Guerra of the San Antonio Express News. And it's something to keep in mind when we're dealing with this legislature and our politicos here at this Capitol here in Austin. The title of the article is "A Brutal Course on the Often Disingenuous Ways of the Texas Legislature. Stopping toll roads, not so simple when the legislature is involved." As a spate of state toll roads proposals came to light, especially plans for the Trans-Texas Corridor, Texas got thousands of new political activists. Suddenly, people who hadn't done much more than vote were building email lists, sending out alerts, and even knocking on doors, attending meetings, organizing rallies, and confronting elected officials. Hold on, folks, because you are about to get a brutal course on the often disingenuous ways of the Texas legislature. And hopefully you won't become so embittered and discouraged that you will stop trying to influence state government. After all, it is a widespread political activism that has allowed toll road plans to develop. Because the legislature meets only once every 2 years for 140 days, during which thousands of bills are considered, few noticed laws approved in 2003 and 2005 that authorized the Texas Department of Transportation to cut deals with private sector interests to build toll roads on state-owned land. But as details of the Trans-Texas Corridor became known, people from very disparate constituencies started to act. The Trans-Texas Corridor is an ambitious 50-year plan that will forever change Texas. The state will take thousands of square miles of land in quarter-mile swaths for the construction of multi-use transportation corridors. This land will be leased to private interests that will build toll roads, railroads, and utility easements at their expense, supposedly at their expense. Actually, plenty of our tax dollars will be in there, I'm sure. But anyways, at their expense in exchange for many decades of toll and lease revenue. Different groups are alarmed by different parts of the Trans-Texas Corridor. Farmers and ranchers fear losing their land or having it bisected, and others worry about ecological damage. Others reject being doubly taxed by fuel taxes and tolls, and many oppose giving leaseholders non-compete agreements that will limit expansion of free roads. There is also a concern that only foreign interests are bidding for Trans-Texas Corridor tollways. All right, so folks, that's just a little bit to watch out for with the Texas legislature. I'll wrap this article back up when we come back from this break. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Michelle, I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Back to Restoring the Republic. I'm your host, Richard Reeves, and we've got open phones for the next half hour before our guest Deborah Stevens comes on talking about 911 grand jury indictment possibilities. She'll be coming on at 7 o'clock here, Central Daylight Time here in Texas. But anyway, the number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And before I go back and finish up that article about the Texas legislature and the dirty tricks that we may have to watch out for as we navigate through this process of getting involved in state politics and national and county, city, et cetera, politics. But before I get back to that, I want to talk about meetup.com. The way to get to the website where you can find information on Meetup a lot easier, if you just check out my website at restoringtherepublic.com, restoringtherepublic.com. If you go to my website there, you'll find a headline where it talks about networking and getting folks together. And I've got a link there that takes you to the site, the part of meetup.com. It takes you straight to the site about 911 questions meetup groups. And I've been watching that website since January, and I've been watching it grow. And as a matter of fact, I checked it April 6th, and I made a note of it April 6th. And there were a total of 3,055 members at that point, which is a little budding mushroom of people there that's growing. But I just checked it today once again on April 15th, just today, and we've got 3,188. So we've grown 133 members that have signed up at meetup.com, 133 members in the last week that have signed up to get involved in 911 truth groups and more. So hopefully what this will be doing is building up every month, building up more and more members at meetup.com and other networking websites like lonelantern.org and 911 Truth Action and several different. I've got them there on the website. There's quite a few. Another good website to sign up with is freedomtofascism.com, freedomtofascism.com, and then you've got 911truth.org and truthaction.org. These different websites are good ways. They've got most of them are just forums, but in the case of 911 Meetup, they've got a pretty elaborate format. The way they've got their website set up is ideal for that type of networking of getting people together on one certain issue. And you can even look at different cities and communicate through their forum sections in the different cities. You can communicate with other people in the 911 truth movement that way. So it's really set up ideally for that type of networking. So that's what's good about meetup.com. And I think hopefully in the future we'll have something more specific to our interests and our groups instead of like Meetup that's just spread out all over the map. They have all kinds of issues. They've got Meetup groups about chihuahuas and witchcraft and gardening and all kinds of different things. So it's a pretty much just an eclectic mix on that. But nonetheless, it still serves our purposes because it does help people get together. And that's one thing I like to encourage people is that here in Central Texas, we've had the luxury of we've had low power FMs for a long time. And we've had a lot of networking able to happen here in Central Texas and Austin. But other parts of the country, I think there's a big lack of being able to get people networked together. So I just like to point people that direction to meetup.com. And if you go to restoringtherepublic.com, you'll see a big headline that says links to networking sites and more. And that first link that I've got posted right there, it's 9-11.meetup.com/about. And I know it's kind of hard to remember. So if you just go to restoringtherepublic.com, just click on that link and you'll see the latest stats and you'll see how to get connected with other like-minded folks in your area, especially with regard to 911. I think we're really building up some momentum on the 911 issue. And hopefully in this September 11th, we'll have the biggest 911 rally of all time. Up in New York City. I know that I'm really looking at perhaps making plans on going up to New York City that myself this September. And if for some reason I don't make it, though, I'll for sure be at the state capitol and let them know what I think about 911. So anyway, I want to wrap up on the story talking about the what can happen with the state legislature with regards to what we're trying to do here to stop the Trans-Texas Corridor and toll roads. And I'll continue from this point. Perhaps for varying reasons, thousands of Trans-Texas Corridor opponents packed TxDOT hearings throughout Texas. Shortly after the legislature convened, the anti-tollers were encouraged when several anti-Trans-Texas Corridor bills were filed, especially Senate Bill 1267, which was filed by Senator Robert Nichols, a former member of the Transportation Commission. It would slap a 2-year moratorium on the highway privatization deals as more senators signed on as co-sponsors and more representatives joined to co-sponsor an identical House bill. The anti-tollers followed closely until 25 of Texas' 30 senators and 105 of the 150 House members were on board. It's veto-proof, the new activists cheered, and that's what we did. We did, in fact, say veto-proof. Well, that may have been true were the bills in Congress, but for legislators to override a Texas governor's veto is so unusual that it hasn't happened since 1979 when they overrode Governor Bill Clement's rejection of, get this, a bill approving changes made to hunting regulations by the Comal County Commissioner's Court. It is all in the rules. Since our legislature only meets 140 days and doesn't pass any laws during the first 60 days unless the governor declares something an emergency, all real lawmaking is limited to a session's last 80 days. And for a bill to become law, it must get committee approval in each chamber, stumbling block number one, be read 3 times, and voted on twice. If 2 versions of a bill are approved, a House Senate conference committee usually eats up another 5 days or more, resolving differences before both chambers must vote on it again. Only then can bills be sent to the governor, who gets 10 days during the session to sign them, let them become law without a signature, or veto them. But the governor gets 20 days to decide on bills sent in a session's final 10 days. So he can simply wait for that session to end before exercising a veto, and the bill sponsors, regardless of their number, will simply have to try again in 2 years. So that's the danger that we're in with regard to this legislation here on the Trans-Texas Corridor and the moratorium involving toll roads. All right, we've got Morris on line two here in Texas. Hello, Morris. How are you?
Hey, great, Richard. In the metro section, I don't know if you covered this because I just tuned you in. And I don't know what you said before I called in. I just heard the last few moments what you were saying there. But in the metro section of the Austin Un-American Statesman, as I call it, that's my opinion of it.
I think that's what everybody around Austin calls it.
Anyway, it's Wednesday, April the 11th, 2007, Metro State Capitol Roundup. It has an article. It's titled House 2-Year Toll Road Ban Gains Support. And this is a different bill than the one I believe that I recalled you stating. This is House Bill 1892, sponsored by Representative Wayne Smith, Republican in Baytown. His proposal won preliminary approval by 223-17. And this is the ban on, it's a moratorium on toll roads. It's stated here, Mike Cruzy, chairman of the House Committee on Transportation, warned against the moratorium, suggesting that the move would strain the state's highway trust fund. But anyway, the article states that this bill preliminarily approved by 223-17 vote. And also what I was going to say is people don't realize I've heard such ridiculous things as suing and things, and even suing prominent lawyers that have law firms or you know, senators, representatives, just absurd things. It may take you 2 years to get these people in court. But what I'm saying is you were down there with me at the Capitol when yourself and myself and other people here, a lot of patriots, marched on the Capitol about animal ID and toll roads and other issues that we brought to the Capitol. And I took letters to Senator Watson and to Representative Elliot Neustadt, and I talked to other people, Lois and different people, and I've got a good feeling that a couple of representatives came out and even said that they defunded or wrote out funding or put attachments and riders, and people don't know that there is more opposition even at our Capitol, as hard as it is to believe. But we're, you know, critical mass is an understatement compared to if people really knew what was going behind the scenes. I mean, even Sputnik and different people in the patriot community and different groups are fighting this, and there's overwhelming opposition against these, like, for example, the thing that I've been fighting the most, the phase two toll roads. But they're not winning this battle. I mean, they were trying to pass these phase two toll roads years ago. In fact, they even had their it lapsed, and they have to bring these up every 6 months, and then they put it off another 6 months when you and me and Bobby Dacey and other fine patriots in the community went down there and spoke out. And so we're kicking their derriere. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Morris, I couldn't agree with you more. I know we're making a lot of progress. But I just wouldn't be overconfident yet. I tell you what, they've got a lot of dirty tricks. But you're right. That's the next thing I was going to talk about, was that HB 1892 that passed. And it's got the same moratorium language as HB 2772. And it's pretty confusing, but I think a lot of these alternate bills that they've had to do with amendments and additions to them have been because of these strong, powerful people that are in these committee heads and these committee chairmanships, such as Mike Cruzy, who is the chairman of the House Transportation Committee on the House side. And then you've got Senator Corona, the House, chairman of the Homeland and Transportation Committee on the Senate side. And so those two gentlemen right there have a lot of power with blocking these bills, and that's why I think they've come up with this other bill, HB 1892, to somehow circumvent that powerful chairmanship in the House. And so according to my numbers, there were 137-2 that ended up voting for this on a third reading. The first reading was around 123-17, which there are 150 members in the state House of Representatives, but some of them obviously didn't vote to end up with that 137-2, and some of the folks that did not vote were voting against the bill actually were in the House were Hill and Cruzy, and then some folks that did not vote were Speaker Craddock, Charles Guerin, and Jones were the three that did not vote on the that were not vote on this legislation.
Right, and another thing I wanted to comment on too, and I know that yourself on Access Station made note of this with Barbara Samuelson running against Cruzy. If she'd have run as independent, she may be in that position today. But the thing that I'm saying is that these people, even though they're in powerful leadership roles, they have won by just the skin of their teeth their last elections. And there's been a great, great voter revolt, a revival in this Central Texas area. And you know as well as I know the number of people that's been replaced on the present Campo board. And it's just been almost a night and day change. The last Campo meeting, they had so many new board members, they didn't even have time to get them all approved to be on the board and things like that. But we have had a voter revolt, and these people know that. And even some of the newly elected people to the Campo board, I think, are going to be one-termers. And maybe not even in related to toll road issues, but the only thing I'm saying is that we have resisted, and there's patriots and Christians in this community that believe in submitting to God and resisting the evil. And that's not the same as just resisting evil. And we're overcoming, and we're more than conquerors through Yahweh. And we believe in our Creator, and we believe in a better world, and we're fighting the world order. But I just wanted to tell you, I really appreciate you, John Stamp Miller, everything you're doing. Keep up the good work, and God bless you, and I love you, my friend.
All right, Morris. Well, the feeling's mutual, and well stated on what we're doing here, and we are putting up a resistance to what is going on. And as I've stated on the last couple shows, I've talked about some numbers on 2006 election numbers. Morris mentioned Barbara Samuelson, who was the candidate that we located here in Southern Williamson County to challenge Mike Cruzy. We identified that Mike Cruzy, as the chairman in the House Transportation Committee, was a big mover in favor of toll roads. So we worked last year in January of 2006 to find a candidate to try to run against Cruzy, in which we found a candidate real late in the race. It was late December 2005. We found a candidate, and that was Barbara Samuelson. She ran against Mike Cruzy and House District 52 here in Southern Williamson County, which is right here in Round Rock where I sit. And despite the fact that we only had 9 weeks of campaign and very, very little money, despite that fact, normally a candidate only gets single digits like that, that just comes out of nowhere with no money and hasn't been around very long in the circle of running for political office. Normally a candidate like that gets single digits in an election like that. And we came up in a 9 week long campaign, we came up with 36% of the vote. Now that wasn't enough to win, certainly, so we weren't satisfied with that. But nonetheless, 36% is still an indicator of what's going on. And that was those numbers back then were less than 5,000 total people voted in that race. As a matter of fact, in that race, Representative Mike Cruzy had 3,118 votes to Barbara Samuelson's 1,769. So basically you had about 3,100 to 1,800 for a total of about 4,800 votes. And the interesting part about that, though, is in that race, in the general election, Mike Cruzy barely walked away with the victory. He almost lost to a Democrat, which in that district is unheard of that he would be challenged by a Democrat. Normally, The Republicans in that area of Williamson County, District 52, generate 60-70% of the vote. It's just basically a slam dunk. That's the way it is. Democrats are regarded as an also-ran in that district, District 52. And so, but believe it or not, in the general election 2006, Mike Cruzy walks away with 50% of the vote, and the Democrat, Karen Feldhauser, walks away with 45% of the vote, and a 5% was garnered by the Libertarian candidate, Lilian Martinez. So that snowball effect that we started back in late 2005 in December and worked through January, February, March of 2006, it unknowingly to us kept on snowballing and snowballing more opposition against Mike Cruzy, so that now I think, in my view, he's really been weakened. So if we just have a good quality candidate come up and maybe with a little money and time and gumption, et cetera, to challenge him in 2008 primaries, that we could potentially have victory in the primary. All right, folks. Well, I want to thank Morris for calling, and I appreciate those kind words. And we will be right back after this break.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. I'm your host, Richard Reeves. And I just want to remind everybody, we're going to have a guest coming on at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock Central Daylight Time here in Texas. Deborah Stevens will be coming on and talking about the grand jury issue and trying to get some grand juries and presentments started with regard to the 911 situation. All right. Well, I was talking about these the numbers in these past elections. And bottom line, I want to try to bottom line it real quick, is basically in the general election in 2006, 31% minority, a large 31% minority voted for independent or third party candidates. And basically that is our group, I believe, is mostly independents, libertarians, and people that have seen that the left-right paradigm is a sham and it's run from the top down, and both sides at the very top are co-opted and corrupted. But basically, it just turns out that 31% minority that voted in the 2006 general election is substantially, or just right the same size, almost the same size, almost the same number of voters within about 100,000, just a hair more voters came out and voted independent or third party in the 2006 general election than voted in the entire primary in 2006. So the key is going to be that those 31% that voted in that 2006 general election, those 31% that are unhappy with the status quo, if they'll just stay involved, stay active, keep waking up more people, and then get into that election, that primary election in 2008, then that 31% minority can become the majority in these primaries. Now, 2008 election is going to be a little bit different because it is a presidential election and there will be presidential primaries. So there probably will be a bigger voter turnout for the 2008 primaries than normal. But nonetheless, that 31% needs to stay on fire and lit up and keep on growing and growing and waking their neighbors up and waking other people up in their precincts and in their districts and letting them know that, hey, you got to really know who you're voting for. You can't just vote for the slickest ad that's on the Channel 4 or Channel 5 news and get who necessarily you want. As a matter of fact, for us to get candidates that we want, we're going to have to overcome this issue of money, because our candidates that are interested in upholding the Constitution, that are interested in restoring the Republic, are not going to get funded anywhere near what these other candidates that sell out. I mean, there's just no way that the money's going to head their way. So it's going to be up to us to do what we can to help and support these candidates that are willing to step up. Okay. Back to this toll road issue for a minute. Well, one of the things that happened back in March in the hearing that they had in the Senate with Senator Corona's House Transportation and Homeland Security Committee was that they had several people that came down from Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, and most of them were governmental officials, you know, mayors, county commissioners, different positions in the government, city council members. So you had different government officials, and I think you also maybe had one person with the North Texas Toll Association up there. But basically, they came down and had about 10 or 15 folks that testified in front of Senator Corona's Senate committee, and they basically are the ones that kind of slowed down our efforts on the Texas Trans-Texas Corridor Moratorium and the Toll Road Moratorium. But nonetheless, it looks like we're overcoming that, and there are people waking up in Fort Worth, Dallas. As a matter of fact, here's a real quick letter to the editor. It says, the powers that be misled us. They lied in the past. They're lying now, and they'll continue to lie. Private tolls are an excuse for the Texas Department of Transportation and other entities to accept upfront corporate money to spend on other projects. It's not about relieving congestion. It's a disturbing way to fund other road projects. Then the taxpaying public gets saddled with excessive tolls and hidden fees for the duration of a 50-year contract. Has anyone in power ever stopped to think that we, the little people in the Metroplex, don't want every new and old road to be a stinking toll road? All right, and that's just the beginning. I think people in Fort Worth, Dallas are really starting to wake up that they've been sold out up there, so hopefully we'll have some help coming our way. All right, stay tuned for our guest. We'll be coming back on Republic Broadcasting.